The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salam wa ala Sayyidil Mursaleen Amma Abad A'udhu Billahi Min Shaitan Urjim Bismillahir Rahman Urheem As-salatu wa salam wa alayka ya Rasulullah Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah As-salatu wa salam wa alayka ya Nabi Allah Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurullah Viewers of Madani Show, welcome to our series of programs yesterday, today and tomorrow. And as you know, in these series of programs, we look to the past. We look at yesterday, we look at the rich heritage of the Muslims, and we look at the role models that we've had. And from them, from the stories that we've received from yesterday, from the past, we try and make a change in our lives today, learn from their lessons, make a change in our life today, so we can have a better tomorrow. And let's learn from yesterday, make a change today, and have a better tomorrow. Before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that those who sit in such a gathering in which they neither do zikr of Allah nor recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then on the day of judgment they will regret over such a gathering. Hence, if Allah azza wa jalla wills, He will punish them, and if He wills, He will forgive them. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then normally, when we start our programs, we don't really normally say a lot about the Durood-e Pak. But in this particular Durood-e Pak, you see there that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about the gatherings, where we sit, who are our company, and what is happening in that gathering there. Is it a gathering of zikr? Is it a gathering of Durood-e Pak? If not, then there is no benefit to you. And I know it's slightly off topic, but it's something that we need to consider. We need to look at what our gatherings are. We need to look at who we're sitting with. When we're sitting with our friends, with our colleagues, with the people that we know, with our relatives, do they remind us of our obligations to Allah Azza wa Jalla? Do they remind us of reading our namaz? Do they remind us of fasting during the month of Ramadan? Do they remind us that we need to pay our zakat, etc., etc.? Or do they put us in a mindset of where we're committing sins? Now, if that's the case, then obviously we are told here that on the day of judgment, you will regret that, and it will be up to Allah Azza wa Jalla if He wishes to forgive you or He wishes to punish you. So something to ponder over on that, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel. It is stated that the Khalifa of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Mulana Sayyid Ayub Ali Radhvi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, states, the one person used to come in the court of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Raza, Mulana Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, and Ala Hazrat would also go to him and sit in his place. Now, on one such incident, what happened was, when this person came to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat's house, he sat on like the charpai, like the charpais were basically like a bed, you know, or a place. And what used to happen is people used to put them outside, and charpais were either a bed, a wooden bed, or they would make like a stand. You know, imagine like a table, like this table, but at a lower level so that you can sit on it. And what they used to do is to put them out in the courtyard, and people used to sit on them. Now, this individual came to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, and what happened was, when a poor person came at the same time, and when the poor person came, that poor person was like getting close to that guest, and he was moving closer towards him. And what happened was, he saw that what was happening there, that guest of his was looking at the poor person in a downward manner and thinking, how dare you even come close to me? Yeah? He didn't actually say it, but his way of looking at him, looking down at him, looking at him in an angry manner, that what are you doing here? Now, that poor person, he realized, he wasn't silly, he realized that this person was looking down on him, and he felt, you know, hurt by the fact that I'm looked down on. So what he did is he left the courtyard of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. Now, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he was watching, he saw all this, and he was severely hurt by the arrogant attitude of that individual, who would eventually, by just looking at that person, the way he looked at that person, he pushed him away and he left the room. A few days later, the host came to the house of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, and Ala Hazrat gave him the space on the charpai. And as soon as he sat down, a barber came. And when the barber came, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat made him also sit down on the charpai with him. And Allah Hazrat said to him, "Brother Kareem Baksh, why are you standing? Muslims are brothers. We sit with each other. Sit down." After saying this, Allah Hazrat pointed him to sit next to the other guest who was sat on Allah Hazrat's charpai. So the barber sat next down there. Thereafter, the person, because all of a sudden he's seen this poor person, this barber, sitting next to me, he became furious and became hissing like a snake, and he immediately got up and left, and he never came back again. Viewers of the channel, from this we can see the mindset of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, that he, the love, the brotherhood that he possessed for Muslim brothers, that he wanted equality amongst brothers. He practically showed us that no matter how rich and how wealthy a Muslim may be, no matter how highly ranked or his belongings may be, he come from an extremely noble family or a poor family, he has no right, no matter what, to consider any Muslim to be inferior than him. He has no right to grade any earner of halal sustenance in front of people. In fact, being a Muslim, treating everyone nicely, greeting visitors with a smile to hearten them, giving them respect and keeping equality amongst all Muslims are a part of the bright teachings of Islam. But viewers of the channel, nowadays, we've left these teachings. We now consider ourselves better than other people. We boast at people. We consider ourselves superior to other people. We look down on other people. Maybe because we've got money. Maybe because we think we've got beauty. Maybe because we've got power. Maybe because we've got status. Maybe because we've got education. Maybe because we've got a position. But even if you have any of them or all of them, you can have all of them that I mentioned. It does not give you a right to look down on someone. And that is where, unfortunately, we are looking down on people. We think that we're superior to people. Who is to say who's the most superior? Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and I give you the translation from Qasul Iman, Surah Al-Hajarat, ayat number 13. Indeed, listen to this, indeed the most honorable amongst you, according to Allah Azza wa Jalla, who is the most honorable amongst you? Who is the greatest amongst you? Who is the best amongst you? Who is the greatest in status amongst you? Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, indeed, the most honorable person amongst you, according to Allah Azza wa Jalla, is the one who is the most pious amongst you. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. So now, who is the most pious? Is it me? Is it you? Is it that poor man? Is it the rich man? Is it that wealthy man? Is it that powerful man? Is it that weak man? Is it that young man? Is it that old man? Nobody knows. I don't know. You don't know. We do not know what is in the heart of individuals. So how can I say that I'm better than anybody? I can never say that. I remember once I went to a speech in the Mubalik there. He said that, who is the most pious person in this gathering? You know, and some people looked around thinking, oh, I wonder who it is. And they were looking for somebody. Yeah? And the Mubalik said that, look, it is possible that the person that came in here, he read his namaz, and after the dua, he quickly left because he had to go and earn an alive livelihood. Maybe he is the most pious person that has entered this masjid today. He's not in this gathering, but he may be the most pious person. So who is to say who is the most pious? So if we do not know who is the most pious, if we do not know who is the greatest in the sight of Allah, how can we look down on people? How can we show off to people? And how can we think that we are better than people? But unfortunately, we don't. You know, just because we've got a nice car and someone's got an old car, we look down on them. Someone's got a nice house, someone's got a small house, we look down on them. Someone, you know, didn't complete his education at school, didn't get a degree, didn't get an education, and he's working maybe in a factory, maybe he's a taxi driver, whatever. But if he's earning halal, then you have no right to look down on him. But unfortunately, we do. We think we're better than them. And also what happens is sometimes because you may be more eloquent, you may be able to talk better than someone. Because you can talk better than someone, you think you're better than them. Just because Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the gift of speech, the ability to be able to speak eloquently, that does not mean you're better than anybody else. You know, alhamdulillah, there was a time where we used to have these UK ishtamas in the UK. And alhamdulillah, the work of Dawah Islamiyah spread that now there's no place in the UK that we can have a UK level ishtama. At the time, I remember that it dawned on me that, you know, I used to do speeches there, and during the speech, after the speech, there'd be mulaqat and people were meeting, and some people said, oh, brother, mashallah, very good speech, very interesting topic. And obviously that's affecting the nafs, because now the nafs is saying, oh, you know, you've done a very good job. And so your sincerity is now to church. How sincere are you in your job. Whereas then people there that maybe are considered nothing, you know, in people's eyes, they may be considered nothing. The people that are cleaning the masjid car park, the people that are putting out the langar, the people that are putting up the posters, the people that are putting up the lights of the sound system. Their sincerity is greater than the mubalik that's doing the bayan in front of 2,000 people, 5,000 people. Because nobody's going to go up to him and say, oh, mashallah, you know what, that light that you put up there, you know what, brilliant. I've never seen anything like it. You know that car park, I've never seen anybody clean it as good as that. You know that sound system, wow, amazing. Nobody says that to them. And so they are sincere. So if they are more sincere than that person that's at the front, in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, who's going to be greater? That person. That person is going to be more sincere. Here right now, I'm here in front of you on Madani Channel. The camera is in front of me. Behind this camera, here in the UK and back in Pakistan, there is a team of people now making sure that this is broadcast live. Making sure that this is being broadcast as we speak. There's a team over there, a team over there. Who is the most sincere? Who is the greatest in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Me or them? Nobody knows. But one thing I do know, there is a chance that them people that are behind the camera are more sincere than me. And inshallah, they will get the reward for this. And so we should never look down at people because of what they do. Never think that, oh, because he is a speaker and this person is doing nothing, or appears to do nothing. He appears to do nothing, that he's nothing. No. Who is the greatest in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla? We don't know. And because we do not know, then we should ponder over this. That who am I to look down at anybody? And on the day of judgment, who will be the greatest in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla? That is again something that we need to ponder on. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O people, your Lord is one and your Father is one. Now listen, he said, no Arab has superiority over a non-Arab, and no non-Arab has a superiority over an Arab. No white person has a superiority over a black person, and no black person has a superiority over a white person. However, the one who is pious is superior than others. Undoubtedly, the most honored amongst you in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is the most pious amongst you. The most pious amongst you. And we don't know who's the most pious. So when we don't know who is the most pious, how can we boast? How can we look down on people? What we should be looking at is we should every morning get up. And when you get up in the morning and you go in front of that mirror and you straighten your beard or you straighten your hat or you straighten your clothes, look at that person in that mirror and ask yourself, what are you doing wrong? What do you need to do to save yourself from sins? What do you need to do to be more pious today? What do I need to do to please my Rabb? That's what I need to be asking myself every single day. Every single day I need to ask that myself. And every single night before I sleep, I should think to myself, what sins have I committed today? Don't look at the sins of others. You're not going to be responsible for their sins. You're not going to be responsible for their actions. Look at yourself. How pious am I? How sinful am I? You know, how am I living my life? I'm wasting my life in heedlessness. How heedless am I? Don't look at others. Don't compare yourself to others. Just look at yourself. And if you want to compare, yes. If you do want to compare, compare to those people who in your mind are more pious than you. Compare yourself to the scholars. Compare yourself to them. Look, you know, I want to be like them. Them are the people I want to be like. Now, Allah knows what is in their heart. However, they look more pious than me. They appear more pious than me. So I should aspire to be more like them. Not like those people who miss the namaz. Not like those people who waste their time. Not like those people who waste the month of Ramadan. No, aspire to be like these people. And if you have this mindset that I am the lowest of the low. Imagine I am the lowest of the low. And I need to try and get to their status. And aspire to be like them. Aspire to be like these role models. Like this role model that I'm talking to you about today. This is our ideal role model. This is one of our ideal role models that we need to aspire to be like. Now in these particular instances, that was one incident where he did not look down on a poor person. And he made a poor person sit next to someone who appeared to be rich and wealthy. And he didn't like the way he treated that poor person. Do we have that? in our hearts. If we see someone look down, if we see someone abused, if we see someone that, you know, scolded for something, made fun of, for whatever reason, because of his height, because of his weight, because of his color, whatever it is. If that happens, what do we feel? Do we think, or do we just laugh along with them? Or do we say, no, this is wrong? Just because he's short, just because he's dark, just because he's light, just because he's heavy, just because he's light, doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla. What is in his heart and his piety is what matters. And we need to reflect on this. We're just going to take a small break now, inshallah. We've got a small clip for you about the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. Inshallah, listen to this clip, inshallah. And when you come back, we'll continue talking about the blessed character of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. Let's go for this small break. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A multi-dimensional personality.
Introduction to Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi alayhi. His name is Ahmad Raza and his most famous title is Ala Hazrat. He was born in a locality of Bareilly called Jasuli on Saturday 10th Shawalul Mukarram 1272 Hijri at the time of Dhuhr, corresponding to June 14, 1856. At the age of 4.5, he had the honor of completing Nazira, reciting the Holy Quran by looking. At the age of 6, in the blessed month of Rabi'ul Awwal, he took to the stage and delivered an inspiring speech on the topic of Mawlidun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of a large congregation and received accolades and appreciation from Islamic scholars and religious leaders. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, wrote valuable books on approximately 50 subjects. When he was just 13 years, 10 months and 4 days old, he finished learning all conventional sciences from his respected father, Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan, alayhi rahmatullahi al-mannan. At the age of 13, he, rahmatullahi alayhi, wrote his first decree, fatwa, answering a question. His respected father, rahimahullah, found the decree to be correct and bestowed the chair of iftah upon him. Until his passing, he kept writing fatawa, decrees. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, said, some people who are unaware add hafiz before my name. I'm not deserving of this title. So he began memorizing the Quran from that day onwards. Now the duration of his memorization was from after performing the wudu of Isha Salah, and he would continue memorizing until the Jama'at began. And he used to memorize one part daily. Eventually he memorized all 30 parts in just 30 days. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma was an epitome of devotion to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His poetry, Hadaiqi Bakhshish, is a testimony to his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, wrote approximately 1,000 books on various topics, and Fatawa Razaviyya is his most amazing masterpiece, a collection of fatawa attributed to him. It's available in 30 volumes, and the total pages are 21,656, and the total number of questions and answers are 6,847. The total books in this collection are 206. On Friday 25th, Safar al-Muzaffar, 1340 Hijri, corresponding to October 28, 1921, 2:38 according to the local time of India and 2:08 p.m. according to the local time of Pakistan, he passed away at the time of Jumu'ah Adhan. The elite, dignitaries and the public visit his blessed shrine, which is located in Bareilly Sharif.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you saw a little clip, a little bit more about the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. And again, you know, many of our viewers have maybe heard the name Ala Hazrat. Maybe they've heard the name Imam Ahmad Raza Ramatullah. Maybe they've heard this name. But do we know anything about him? You know, we need, as Muslims, to be aware of our rich heritage. And I keep on saying this week in, week out, that as Muslims, this is one way that we're lacking. That we don't know about these great personalities. We don't know how they lived their lives. We don't know about the sacrifices they made, not only to secure or maintain or bring the deen to us. But at the same time, the sacrifices that how they lived their lives. And today we want to talk a little bit, and we're talking a little bit about how they lived their life. And Sayyidina Ali Hazrat was that personality that, you know, he would sacrifice if people give him things, his favorite things, if people ask for them, he would give them. And it stated that one day, he used to come to the masjid. He was, alhamdulillah, very, very secure in reading his namaz with jamaat. But when he was coming to the masjid, it was like the monsoon season, and it was raining quite a lot. And he realized that, Haji Kafayatullah Rahmatullah, he realized that Sayyidina Ali, that when he's coming to the masjid, it's raining, and obviously he's getting wet. So what it is, he bought an umbrella. He bought an umbrella, and whenever Sayyidina Ali Hazrat Rahmatullah would go to the masjid or go from the masjid to the house, Haji Kafayatullah Rahmatullah would go with him and he would hold the umbrella with him as well. Now one day, a person saw him, and obviously it was raining, and this needy person said to Ali Hazrat that, you know, it's raining, I also need an umbrella. Yeah? Now Sayyidina Ali Hazrat, rather than, he said, okay, I'll get you an umbrella, okay, I'll sort one out for you, okay, let me see what I can do, or okay, I'll tell someone to buy from, or okay, here's somebody, go and buy yourself. Grab the umbrella, give it to him. And there you are, you have the umbrella. Now this sort of action, it might seem minor in my and your eyes, but this little thing, number one, it shows the fact that he was willing to sacrifice the thing that he had, not only had, he needed for the betterment of others, for the comfort of others, for the pleasure of Muslims, and ultimately the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And again, ask yourself, if you are in that situation, will you have got the opportunity to help other Muslims? First and foremost, you'll think, okay, what's going to happen to me? You know? And if someone wants £10 and you think, well, I've only got £10 in my pocket, so what's going to happen to me? If someone wants, you know, my watch, well, I need my watch. If someone wants my umbrella, well, I need my umbrella. If someone wants this, well, I need it. How am I going to manage? But we look at the esteemed character of Sayyidina Ali Hazrat, that he didn't think this. His ultimate was that, you know, someone's come, someone's asked, someone is needy, give. Give. Now, when he gave that, did it reduce the status of Sayyidina Ali Hazrat? No, it didn't. Yes. Maybe now he's having to walk in the rain again. But his status didn't reduce. And in fact, it increased. And one of the reasons you can see that the status of Sayyidina Ali Hazrat increased is the fact that that incident that was over 100 years ago has been brought forward and we have it in front of us today. It's been remembered. Why? Because it shows the esteemed character of Sayyidina Ali Hazrat. And this is something that we need to think about as well. And Sayyidina Ali Hazrat, he was also an individual that would never think twice that if he felt that he'd wronged somebody, if he felt that he'd made a mistake, he didn't think twice about seeking an apology. It is stated that once Ali Hazrat Imam al-Surud was sat in Ittakaf in the Masjid of Brelevi Sharif, and he would normally not eat food after Iftari. He would just eat apan. Moreover, in Sari, he would have a small bowl of firni, a sweet dish, and a bowl of chutney mint sauce would come for him. And he would just have that. Now one day after Iftar, he did not get his paan. Yeah. And it was a firm habit that he would not ask for anything to eat. Therefore, he remained silent. However, in his mind, he did mind a bit that obviously he's used to having this paan. Around 2 hours later, after the Maghrib Salah, that child brought a paan. Ali Hazrat Rahmatullah tapped him on his head and said, you brought it so late. Just tapped him on his head. Didn't hit him, didn't punish him. He tapped him on his head. You brought it so late, he said. But later on he thought to himself that it was not his fault. It was not the child's fault. It was the fault of the one that had sent this person. Therefore, after Sari, he called the same child who brought the paan the previous night and he said to him, listen, last night I did a mistake by tapping you. It was not your fault, it was the fault of the one who sent you late. Therefore, you also do the same head to me. And he lowered his head and he took his cap off and he kept insisting that to the child that hit me on my head, tap me on my head. Now the child, obviously he knew that this was the imam of the time, the scholar of the time, the great person that he was, the great person, and he didn't want to do it. And the child, you know, because Sayyidina Ali Hazrat was insisting, he started trembling, he was getting cautious about what was going to happen. And he joined his hands together. The Shah said to him and said, Huzoor, I have forgiven you. He has forgiven you. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah replied that you are now balik. You are now balik. You are a pre-adolescent. You do not have the right to forgive me. So do the same to me. However, the child could not dare do the same. He called for his box. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat called for his box and he took out a fistful of money and he showed that money to him and said, I will give you this money, but do the same to me. Do the same to me. But the poor child kept saying, Huzoor, I have forgiven you. Huzoor, I have forgiven you. After all, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat grabbed hold of his hand. Grabbed hold of the child's hand and he tapped it on his own head. Tapped it on his own head and then he gave the child the money and let him leave. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Just think, such a minor incident that he tapped the child on his head. But then the mindset of Sayyidi Ali is that afterwards he started to think himself, that wasn't right, that wasn't fair. I scolded that child, yet it wasn't his fault. And he started to worry and contemplate it. Now imagine that we're in a similar situation. Number one, would it even occur to us that maybe we've done something wrong? Okay. It's occurred to us. Now it's occurred to us. You know what? That was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. If it's occurred to us that we've done something wrong, would we worry about it? Number two, would we even worry about it? Don't know, isn't it? Forget it. Now, if we were to think to ourselves, you know what? No, that was wrong. I should not have done that. Definitely should not have done that. And you're thinking about it and you worry about it. Would you have called for the child? Would you call for the child? Number three. Number four, when the child come, what would you have said to that child? I'm sorry, I tapped you on the head, but you know, please forgive me, inshallah. Yeah, okay, forgive me, I don't. Or would we have gone to this extreme level of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat that he made sure that the child, you know, did the same to him. He then also gave the child the gift of money and sent him on his way. And that is something that we need to do. And what happens is we don't look at that. We think, well, he's poorer than me. He's not, you know, who does he think he is? He's younger than me. Why should I seek forgiveness from him? And we boast in our side and our hearts. We start boasting that we think we're better than other people. Why should I seek forgiveness from anybody? You know, if anything, he should come to me. What happens is we start turning it around and think, you know, well, it's his fault, isn't it? He was the one that came late, wasn't he? It was the person who sent him late. It's his fault, isn't it? Why should I seek forgiveness from him? If he hadn't come late, I wouldn't have tapped him on his head. If he hadn't come late, I wouldn't have told him off. This would be our mentality. But not Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. He had this mindset inside him. And it's something that we need to adopt. That no matter who it is, no matter how much it is, no matter how big or how small it is, if we have made a mistake, then we should rectify that mistake as soon as possible. And burn your nafs. Get rid of your nafs. That your nafs says, no. Why should we? Why should I seek forgiveness from this person? Get rid of that. Get rid of that mindset. And be willing to seek forgiveness from all. Be willing to seek forgiveness from all. And you know, sometimes we've mentioned this before, viewers on the channel, that, you know, we raise our hands. Every day in namaz, we raise our hands. Ya Allah, forgive me for all the sins that I have committed. Ya Allah, I seek forgiveness in your court. And yet, we're not willing to forgive anybody. Because of who they are. Or because of what they've done. The things that people have done to you, are they bigger than the sin that you committed? Allahu Akbar. Do you even think about that? Do you even think about the sins that we've committed? And think, if anybody's done anything wrong to me, without a doubt, what they've done wrong to me is not as bad as the sin that I have committed. That I've missed my namaz, I've not fasted during the month of Ramadan, I've hurt someone's feelings, I've done this. What about that? And this is what we need to ponder over, viewers of the channel. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat is giving us this mindset. Again, I keep on telling you, why have these stories been maintained? This particular story has been maintained for over 100 years so that we learn from it. That we need to adopt this mindset. That we should be willing to seek forgiveness from no matter who it is, no matter what the situation is, no matter how great or small the situation, we should be willing to seek forgiveness from anybody if we believe, we feel that we have done wrong. Now, even if it's the instance that is found out later on that that child was wrong, for argument's sake, let's say that that child was sent on time, but the child went off, yeah, and the child came late, and it was the child's fault that he was late. So what? What is wrong? What have you done wrong by seeking forgiveness from the child? Nothing. Nothing's happened. Your status hasn't lowered. You haven't faced this destitution. You've not faced a problem. So you should never think to yourself that, oh, well, I told you so. I told you it was wrong. I knew it was wrong all along. It's not my fault. I can't see why I sought forgiveness from him. I wasted my time. You didn't waste your time. You didn't waste your time. And in the court of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, this humbleness, this ability to forgive others, this ability to lower yourself and humble yourself, inshaAllah, Azza wa Jalla will raise you. That's what we should be aiming to do. Our aim should not be to lower others, raise ourselves in the sight of others. The only place that we want to be in a status, in a position, is in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we need to learn what our Creator wants from us, the reason for our creation, why we are here, and try and fulfill our obligations in doing this. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We've got another package, inshallah. Toward the end of the program, we've got another package of a kalam, inshallah. But we're going to take a small break now with this package, and then we're going to go, we're going to come back and continue talking about the esteemed character of Sayyidi Al-Azhar. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A multi-dimensional personality.
From amongst the titles of Al-Hazrat, Al-Hazrat itself, he was a mujaddid. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated, إن الله تعالى يبعث لهذه الأمة على رأس كل مئة سنة من يجدد لها دينها. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to this Ummah after every 100 years somebody who shall revive the religion. Allah Hazrat rahimahullah ta'ala, he has many titles. Allah Hazrat itself being one of them. Imam of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He is a mujaddid, yes, a reviver of the traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a protector of the faith, and from amongst all of these things, he is also a great muhaddith. There was a scholar by the name of Hazrat Shaykh Wasi' Surti rahimahullah ta'ala, who's a great muhaddith. A muhaddith is a person who relates a hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would give dars, he would teach the ahadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahih Bukhari, the most authentic book of hadith sharif, he taught for 40 years, my dear viewers, and he had memorized the entire Sahih Bukhari. Allahu Akbar. Such an individual, this great Shaykh, this great Muhaddith, had also given Ala Hazrat a title. What was this? This was in relation to Hadith Sharif. Amirul Mu'mineen fil Ahadith. He was the meaning, and what is the Amirul Mu'mineen? That person who possesses the most knowledge and precedence over others in this particular field of Hadith Sharif. Subhanallah, Ala Hazrat. And this is why we call him Ala Hazrat, Subhanallah. This individual was a mujaddid, he was a faqih, he was a scholar of many sciences, and from amongst those, he was also a muhaddith and Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Ahadith. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. Today we are talking about the esteemed character of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. And before the break, we mentioned the incident in which Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was, he tapped a child on the head for bringing his barn late and later realized that he'd made a mistake and he sought forgiveness from that child to the extent that he gave the child a gift of money and he also lowered his own head, took his hat off and made the child, you know, tap him on the head. Now, views of the channel, we've thought about that. If you do not fulfill the rights of people, if you do not adopt a character like that in other situations, a person can start to indulge in major sins of hurting other people's feelings. And this sin of hurting other people's feelings can lead to being jealous, can lead to having enmity in the heart, can lead to all sorts of types of sins. For example, it can lead to backbiting, tale-telling, slandering, ill assumptions of people, and various other sins also. It opens up all of these. And we need to make sure that we stay away from these sins. So we need to be aware of these sins of the hearts, of backbiting, slandering, you know, ill assumptions of people, you know, keeping jealousy in our hearts, enmity in our hearts. These are the things that we need to be aware of. And just having this arrogance inside us can bring all of these things. There is nothing wrong in seeking forgiveness from anybody, you know. There's nothing wrong in humbling yourself and lowering yourself. And by doing this, then you'll save yourself from these sins. Lying, again, what happens is you start to lie because you think that you are right. Even though inside you know you are wrong, you'll lie to defend your own honor. And again, another sin that we committed. If we look at the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, they also had, you know, great sympathy for people as well. And one aspect of the blessed seed of Ala Hazrat is that when making dua, he would supplicate for his relatives, his friends, his devotees, his disciples, and men on all of the Muslims as well. It is stated that at the end of his awrad and wazaif, after Fajr Salah, Ala Hazrat would take the names and make dua for them. People would desire to have their names included in the list. He would have a list. He would have a list of people. So if he went to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and said, Azur, please remember me in your duas. Yeah? He would put your name on his list. And it stated that Sayyid Ayyub Ali, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, states, so one day, I was really worried. And I requested for dua, and Sayyidi Ala Hazrat made dua for me. Along with that, he said to me, and my brother, Sayyid Kainat Ali, that I have added both of your names. Listen to this. I have added both of your names in the list of dua, to which has gradually become very long. I remember all of those names by heart, and I supplicate for them all every day by taking the names. Allahu Akbar. How many times do people say to you, brother, please do dua for me? Yeah? Do dua for me, inshallah. And you say, yeah, inshallah, inshallah. Do you? You don't even know who that person is. Yeah? You don't know who that person is. And so people will say to you, do dua for me. Or remember me in your duas. And you'll say, inshallah, inshallah. Now this, inshallah, Amir Listener told us that, again, this is a term that we use very easily. Yeah? Inshallah, it's a good term. You know, but we should only say inshallah if we really mean it. So if someone says to you, are you coming to the ishtama this week? And say, inshallah. And you know you're not coming. That's wrong. If you say inshallah, you're making a firm intention to come. And in the same way, when people say to you, do dua for me, say inshallah, but make that intention to try and remember to do that dua. And because, unlike Sayyidina Ali, we cannot remember everybody. We cannot remember everybody's names. Okay? And we hear that quality, that ability to remember people's names. We can't do that. So what we should do is that when we do our dua, Ya Allah Azawajal, all those people that have requested me to do dua for them, Ya Allah Azawajal, you fulfill their desires. Ya Allah Azawajal, you forgive all the sins that they have committed. Ya Allah Azawajal, whatever is in their hearts, whatever is in their needs, if their needs are jayz, then Ya Allah Azawajal, please fulfill them. And that way you are not breaking that promise, because effectively someone said, remember in your duas, and you don't, then you've broken that promise that yes, inshallah, I will do it, but you didn't. But again, the character of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, that he would not only do it, but he would remember the name of people. And so he would have a list. And on that list, people's names were, people wanted their name to be on that list. And when the name was on that list, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat would remember the name by heart, and then he would do that. And another thing that occurs to me when I read this incident, that how many people must have come to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and requested him to do dua. Allahu Akbar. Imagine how big his list would have been. And yet, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala made an effort to remember their name and do dua in their name. Now, if you were fortunate enough to find out that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala did dua for you and took your name, how happy would you be? How happy would you be that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala did dua and he took my name? Allahu Akbar. And again, that action of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, that he would remember people's names and mention their name in the dua, is also not only part of his esteemed character, but look at the happiness. Look at the happiness that he's putting into the heart of the individual. That by doing this dua and hearing that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat did dua and he mentioned my name, Allahu Akbar, how fortunate I would be. How fortunate we would be if we were in that generation. When Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was here and he did dua for us and took our names. Allahu Akbar. Those fortunate people. But this shows the character of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, that not only did he do dua for them, he took their name And as a result of them, he put the happiness into the heart of the people. And inshallah, whatever dua he made, inshallah, the dua will be accepted as well. But at the same time, he put the happiness into the heart of the Muslim. And again, that's something that we don't do nowadays. We don't think about other people's happiness. We just think about my happiness. As long as I'm okay, I don't care what's happening to anybody else. That person could be crying. So what? I'm happy. That person can have financial problems. Okay, but I'm okay. We don't worry. The ummah should be one body. And what happens is, if any part of the ummah is in pain, the whole body should feel pain. Have you ever had a toothache? You know, people, they phone in sick, they phone at the work and say, oh, I'm not coming into work today. Why not? I've got a toothache. Now, nobody works with a tooth. Right? With their hands, with their eyes, with their arms, with their feet. That's what they work with. But that toothache affects the whole body. And now the body cannot function because of a toothache. That is what the ummah should be like. But unfortunately, you know what's happened? In the same way that when you go to the dentist, and the dentist gives you this anesthetic, and when he gives you this anesthetic, the pain goes away, and you can't feel anything. You can hit yourself and you can't feel anything. In the same way, the ummah doesn't feel the pain anymore. We don't feel the pain of each other. It's as if, you know, someone's given us this huge anesthetic that we don't feel the pain of the ummah. We don't feel the problems that our fellow Muslims are facing. We don't care about them. As long as I'm okay, then I'm okay. And again, that's something that we need to think about and reflect on. Today, yes, you may be okay. Today, you may be in a good position. And so, whilst you are okay, whilst you're in a good position, you should think about your fellow Muslim brothers and help them. Because today, you're okay. But tomorrow, you could be in their position. And if we don't help people today, then nobody's going to help us tomorrow. You know, it comes around, goes around. You know, and we need to think about this, that when I need help, where are people? You know, there was an incident I read that a person, he committed suicide. When his body was found, they found a piece of paper in his pocket. And in the pocket, it said that, on the piece of paper, it said that, I'm going to commit suicide today. However, on the way to committing suicide, if anybody smiles at me, I will not commit suicide. How sad it was it that nobody smiled at him? Okay? And so we are taught as Muslims that smile is a sadaqah. We should smile at each other. And as a Muslim, we're taught that one of our duties as a Muslim is to give salam to each other. We should give salam to each other. Who knows that salam that you give to someone, who knows that that smile that you give to someone could change their life? Something as simple as that could change their life. And yet, you are so stingy that you're not even willing to smile. You're so stingy that you're not willing to even give salam to someone. Again, something that we need to think about and reflect on. Viewers of the channel, we're going to now go a kalam about Sayyidi Ali Hazrat, inshallah. We're going to go, it's a brand new kalam, inshallah. I've not listened to it, and I'm hoping to listen to it now. Let's go to the kalam of the day, and then inshallah, when we get back, we're going to continue talking about the esteemed character of Sayyidi Ali Hazrat. Sallu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah.
وہی رب ہے جس نے تجھ کو ہمتن کرم بنایا ہمیں بھیک مانگنے کو تیرا آستہ بتایا ہمیں بھیک مانگنے کو تیرا آستہ بتایا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا عطایا تم دافع بنایا تم شافع خطایا تم دافع بنایا تم شافع خطایا کوئی تم سا کون آیا کوئی تم سا کون آیا کوئی تم سا کون آیا سب سے افضل آیا بنایا چلا با مشکل در روز کے مقابل وہ غمیں نظر تو آیا در روز کے مقابل وہ غمیں نظر تو آیا ان پوچھ کیسا پایا ان پوچھ کیسا پایا ان پوچھ کیسا پایا Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما شاء الله. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Viewers of my channel, you're watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We're coming towards the end of the program today. We've been talking about the esteemed character of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. One of the other things that he would try his best to do was, he had a pain for every individual of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, and therefore he would attend the funerals and supplicate for the deceased after the funeral. And he would make his try and attend as many funerals as possible, and he would do dua for them as well. And the fortunate people, the fortunate whose funeral salah he would lead, the people present would feel as if he is interceding for the deceased people. He would take out time. And again, this is something that, again, we again don't really do, in the sense that how many of us attend the namaz janaza when we hear that a Muslim has passed away? And if we do, what is our intention? Are we going to the namaz janaza because, you know, oh, he knows me, and if I don't go there, you know, it's not good if I don't go there. What will he say? What will people say if they don't see me there? And we make sure that our face is shown, and we'll make sure that we'll stand next to the deceased family so that people see me there, and we make sure that everybody knows I'm there. Is that our intention? Or is our intention to go there and do dua, because the namaz janaza is a dua for the person that's passed away? Or do we go there also to have ibrah, to learn, you know, that person has passed away, and you know, it could be me next? You know, if we go there with the right intention, then inshallah we'll get the reward as well. And doing dua for others, again, is the beautiful sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we don't do. It has been stated that Sayyidina Abu Ash Sheikh Asbahani rahmatullah narrates that from Sayyidina Thabit Bunani rahmatullah, that we have been told that the one who supplicates for the betterment of Muslim men and women, when he passes over the gatherings on the Day of Judgment, then a proclaimer will proclaim, he is the one who is to supplicate for your betterment in the world. Hence, they will supplicate for him, and they will take him to paradise by requesting in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Again, doing dua for others, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. If we do dua for others, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, we'll be rewarded for it. In relation to supplicating for Muslims, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the glorious Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Muhammad, ayat number 19. And O beloved, seek forgiveness for the sins of your special and common believing men and women. Seek forgiveness for the sins of your special and common believing men and women. It is stated in the hadith that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a person saying, O Allah Azza wa Jalla, forgive me. He said, if you had included all the Muslims in your dua, then your dua would have been accepted. We should do dua for the whole ummah. Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, immediately some of the tortures, that Ya Allah, do dua in such a manner that Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive my sins, forgive the sins of my parents, and forgive the sins of all of the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, what have I lost by saying, Ya Allah, forgive the sins of all of the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, that's all. But the reward for me and doing dua for others, and inshallah, maybe through me doing dua for others, my duas may be accepted. My duas that affect me personally will be accepted. And at the same time, I'm part of the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so I also am doing dua for myself as well. So there's nothing wrong in this. So as Muslims, we need to learn that, want to do dua for others. Yeah, because inshallah, as a result of that, maybe your du'as will be accepted as well. But at the same time, as Muslims, if you think about it, by not doing du'a for others, it's a form of stinginess, isn't it? That you're not doing du'a for them. Why not? Do du'a for them. Do du'a for them. And at the same time, if you receive a good thing, if you're getting a good thing, then share that with others as well. You know what happens in the dunya? The reason why we don't share it is because we're so engrossed in the dunya that if we find a good opportunity to make money, then we don't want anybody else knowing. We don't want anybody to know, because if they find out about it, then I'm going to lose out. So we don't want anybody else knowing. We'll talk about that on another day, whether that's right or wrong. However, when it comes to the akhirat, when it comes to deen, when it comes to sawab, that's not the case. If you find something good, if you find out that there's a mashallah, a weekly ishtama in your area, then you should tell everybody that there's a weekly ishtama. Come to the weekly ishtama. Inshallah, there'll be great reward. There'll be talawat, naat, bayan, zikr, dua. Inshallah, all them things will take place there. And by calling them there, inshallah, they will benefit. And you, yes, you will get the reward for calling them there as well. In the same way, do dua for everybody so that everybody can better as well. If you find, you know, that alhamdulillah, if you say to people, look, the night of Shab-e Barat is coming, the night of Shab-e Miraj is coming, this great day is coming, this gathering is coming, tell people about it, tell people the blessings about it. When you watch a program on Madri Channel and you hear about the blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, the reason that we give you that blessing is so that not only that you become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak, but you learn that blessing, pass that blessing on to others as well, so that they can also become habitual. And if they become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak, then inshallah you will get the reward as well. So as Muslims, we should never think that, you know, and inshallah, the more people that I, you know, call towards the path of righteousness, the more people that I invite to the path of righteousness, inshallah, I will be rewarded for it. An incident took place many years ago. I was in Pakistan and I was talking to someone. Imagine I was talking to someone here. And I was talking to someone, this person behind, they were talking to whoever they were talking to. And he said to me that, you know what, I read namaz 25 times a day. Wait a minute, I want to find out. So I spoke, I said to the brother, you, 25 times a day? 25 times a day? Please explain, how is it that you read namaz 25 times a day? He said, well, no, I don't actually read namaz 25 times, but I get the reward for 25. I said, okay, please explain. He said, I read my 5. Okay? I said, okay. He said, I'll get the reward for 5, inshallah. I said, yeah, inshallah, you will. But at the same time, I've made 4 namazi. I've made 4 people read the namaz 5 times a day. 4 times 5 is 20. Inshallah, brother, you tell me, will I not get the reward for them 20 namaz? Inshallah, you will, brother. Inshallah, you will. And again, this is the mindset that we need to have. We need to do dua for everybody. But at the same time, we need to call everybody to the path of righteousness. Help our fellow Muslim brother. In whichever way, not only helping our fellow Muslim brother in calling them to the path of righteousness, but also helping them, removing a worry from them. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, there will be no shade. There will be no shade for anybody except for 3 types of people. And one of them fortunate people is that person that removes a worry from a fellow ummati. Removes a worry from a fellow Muslim. And again, if you look at the character, if you look at the incident where the person came and asked her from Sayyidi Ala Hazrat for the umbrella, what did he do? He removed his worry. Give the umbrella to him. Yeah. Removed his, you know, fulfilled his need. That he needed an umbrella because he was getting wet in the rain. Fulfilled his need. Removed his worry. And inshallah, on the day of judgment, he will be rewarded. But at the same time, we need to do this as well. We need to change our mindset. And think of where we are going. I want to finish with one thing, Hughes. I want you to ask yourself that where I am now, you know, you need to, you know, when you go to the laboratory and you have a blood test, and the blood test comes back and it says, oh, iron eye, this high, that low, and as a result of that, you take medication. What we need to do is we need to do our own soul test. Yeah? Test our soul and ask ourselves, where is my soul going at the moment? What is the route that I'm taking? If I were to do a test of my activities, where would my ultimate end be? And if you realize that you are short in certain things, then get the medicine. Get the medicine to rectify yourself. And the greatest medicine that you can have to rectify yourself from sins is knowledge. Knowledge is there, viewers of Millie Channel. And the great role models that we've had in the past, they've taught us this. Viewers of Millie Channel, time does not allow me to continue. I'm looking down. It is now the end of the program. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, then may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I have said to pass this message on to others as well. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, until the next time, inshaAllah, we'll be back with another program of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But in the meantime, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Oh.